Invite you to turn your Bibles, will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 13, a series of messages about the three that remain for the mature child of God. The three that remain for the mature child of God. Our brother writing to this church in Corinth, there in Greece, and dealing with them and having a great love for them, having of the Lord put much, bestowing much labor upon them, words that he uses. He seeks to help them in the things that they're dealing with and things that they're facing there in the church. They have their old man that it's working on them. They have their history and their past that is raising up and coming back, and they need the help of the Lord, and they need the focus upon the Lord and his word, his instruction, that they might live for him and that they might seek him in all things and put those old things off and indeed put on the new man and follow after those things given by our Lord. He writes to them in this chapter, having just told them in chapter 12, he says, covet earnestly the best gifts, there in 12:31, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. He says, this is the more excellent way. And he begins to speak to them about charity, about agape love. That's the Greek word. It's a love feast. It's the great love of God manifested by our Lord and to us that caused him and moved him to action. It's not just love of words, but it's love that stirs one to action. And that is the love that we need to have. He says in verse number 13 of this chapter, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest, the largest, or as it's used, the eldest of these is charity. Agape love, a love feast, an abundance of love exhibited by the individual towards their Lord and towards their brother and sister in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, and toward their neighbor. He says the greatest of these is charity. Last Sunday we took a look that with no charity in us and working in us, all our works are vain. And I think that's very obvious from the first three verses. He says there that if we operate in that way and have not charity, our witness, that which goes forth from us, is as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. We have a vain thing going from us, if you will. He says in verse number 2 that if we do not have charity, agape love, a love feast of the love of the Lord being working in us and being manifested in us, that we are nothing. Nothing, that's what he says. I am nothing. And then in verse number 3, he says, if this is our case, and we find ourselves in those things that we may do and pursue for the sake of the Lord and as the children of God, if we do so, even to the giving of our own body in martyrdom for the sake of our Lord. I mean, no taller, no greater calling than that. The giving of all of one's living and the burning of the body, the giving of the body to be burned and have not charity, we are profited nothing. And so it makes it very clear there that our works without charity working within us are vain indeed. Today we want to take, and at this time we want to take a look at the character of charity. The character of charity. And in this consideration about charity and, you know, being in search of what it is to understand better what is charity, we mentioned last time that no one really wants to be on the receiving end of charity as we use it in our society, but we are sure glad for the blessing and the charity of our Lord towards us, aren't we? And so charity is a good thing. We can, our pride can work against us and care and help that ones would give us in this life, and we need to be careful about those things. We don't need to be ones that are always searching for charity and searching for a handout. We need to work as our Lord has given us to do and trust Him and look to Him for provision. But as we look in the context of this passage about what is charity, I think that indeed we find that our Lord's love unto action for us, and He is the example, is indeed a mindset. It's a mindset. We are fraught with the emotion and the frailty of this flesh, and we are subject to emotion. We are subject to care and the things that trouble us. We are subject to follow after the flesh and our emotion. And so just pray for the Dewberry family. Something's going on. Brother Stephen. Okay. So pray for Coleman. Pray that the Lord will help there and them as they go to help him. We look at our Lord, and our Lord is not, you know, our Lord is not subject to emotion. He doesn't operate in emotion, and you and I are, and our Lord has made us emotional creatures. In talking with someone or dealing with someone recently about music, you know, music is physical. Music is emotional and music is spiritual, okay? And that's something that our Lord has given us and can affect us, and we can participate in it in that way. But our Lord and His love unto action for us is not, He hasn't had this ooey-gooey feeling towards us or this thing that we kind of in our carnality try to pinpoint what love is. It's the true love is not that way. It is indeed a mindset. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 6 through 8, we see here what the Lord said, and this is an attribute of our Lord, this of love and all things related to it. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses number 6 through 8, we see our Lord saying this to Israel, and He's saying this. We want to take a look at this because He is telling His view towards this nation that is His own. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 6, He says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God." And hear that, unto. "The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself." And all those the Lord does choose are special unto Him. It is just that way because He's done so. "Above all people that are upon the face of the earth." Again, our Lord has made us children, not just servants, but children, just like He did with this nation. "The Lord did not set His love upon you." And I see that there. It's a mindset. Our Lord's love, His love unto action, His charity towards us is a mindset. He determined to. Because there was nothing that the Lord looked at Jim Duke and said, "You know what? I need Jim Duke and add him to me, and that'll just make me a better God." The Lord didn't operate that way, but there was nothing. When the Lord looked upon this sinner, He saw that this sinner was wretched, blind, miserable, and dumb, and separated far from Him and hating Him. But my Lord, you that are here and saved, your Lord chose to love you. As He did, as He tells with this nation here, He says, "The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people." That got Him excited that there was some attribute about them that was better. No, it wasn't that way. Listen to what He says. "The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people." That was your state. Verse 8, "But because the Lord loved you." That's the because. Why did the Lord love me? Why does the Lord love me? If you're here and you're saved, why does the Lord love you? Because He loved you. Because He loves you, present tense. He loves us. Because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you. He brought you back out of the house of the bondmen and from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And so he tells him things in particular to them, but they in type tell about what he's done for us. He's done the same thing for us, hadn't he? He's bought us from the slave market of sin. He's bought us out of our bondage and out of the what sin was doing and bringing us down into death. He's bought us out of that with his own precious blood. And so the Lord's love unto action towards us indeed is a mindset. Listen, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, I trust a familiar passage. We love him because he first loved us. And you know what? There's nothing in there about something in us that moves him to love us because we're unlovable. And that's what makes the love of our Lord, his love unto action towards us, so great. Is that there was nothing in me. But you know what? He's just a great God. See, this is all connected not to the ooey gooey feelings that the Lord feels in loving somebody, but it's all connected to his attributes. I love this attribute of our Lord. All of them are wonderful. All of them are their place. And as the brother brought in some Sunday school lessons not too long ago, our Lord is complete in all of them. He's complete and he's whole in all of them. Our Lord is compassionate. He's compassionate. I love that it tells in Isaiah that our Lord looked upon the inhabitants of men and he marveled that there was no intercessor. Not a one of us. Not a one of us that would stand up and say, hey, God, we've got a problem here and we need some help. We didn't even know. The Lord marveled. He said, look at this lot. Look how bad they are. Look at the imagination of their heart is only evil continually. Look at how their sin takes them to death and to hell and destroys them. He marveled. He said, they need an intercessor. And so you know what he did? He stepped in. He stepped in and he brought salvation with his arm and he brought deliverance that sustains us and has delivered us and saved us. Indeed, we love him because he first loved us. As the brothers pointed out, and it's really rung true, it's such a great statement and been a blessing unto me. The Lord Jesus saved this sinner, Jim Duke, knowing yet how as his child I would sin against him, yet going further. He yet saved me. And that is a gracious and a loving Lord indeed. In Jeremiah 31 verse number 3, the Lord hath appeared of old time unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Love from our Lord that transcends time. You and I are here in time. We're subject to time. Our Lord has put us down here in time. And we have a beginning, and we are created to be an eternal beings. We are eternal beings, but we have a beginning. And our Lord has loved us even from before he's brought us to life in this world. We praise his name for that. And all the things connected to that are a subject for another time. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. See, when the Lord is charitable to someone, to the sinner, it's full tilt. It's all or nothing. With our Lord. It's all or nothing. In regards to the individual, it's all or nothing. An everlasting love that transcends time, our Lord has loved us with. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And what a wondrous thing that is, that here in time, in the time of our life, the Lord sent his word, Lord sent a witness, Lord sent a preacher, Lord sent a church. Tell us the truth. Move with the Spirit. Convince us of our sin and our need and convince us against our own case that we would hold. But I'm okay. But I know somebody. But the Lord shows us you need me. You need me. Sinner, you need me as Savior. And he saves us. His love for us is indeed a mindset, a choice made by him. Not affected in us or in any way by us. There was not a blessing that was found within us. Nothing in us to appeal to our Lord. And our Lord has not loved us because of emotion, but rather a mindset. And as we saw in this previous verse in Deuteronomy, relative to the nation, he says that he would keep the oath, in particular there with Israel, keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers. He made that to Abraham. And we find in the New Testament scriptures about brother Abraham that he's our father too. Father of faith and in faith. We are that seed that is there that's told about unto Abraham. There's indeed a connection. The New Testament scriptures brings that out. But our Lord has not loved us not because of emotion on his part, that ooey-gooey esoteric feeling, but rather a mindset that he does vow to love us. When the Lord begins to love, he never stops loving. He doesn't quit. But when the Lord says, I'm going to love you, he binds himself to that. A vow, if you will, that he will love us for eternity. And we see that, not because of emotion, but rather his mindset towards us, that he does vow to love us and be kind and generous unto us. You know, love does bring emotion. It does, in the way that we are created. And different folks will react different ways. Love, the manifestation of love towards us by our Lord, brings us joy. It may cause us to weep tears of joy. The love of our Lord being revealed to us and his visiting us and working the operation of God to bring us into salvation, convict us of our sins, will cause us to see his great love and what Christ did on Calvary for us and cause us to grieve and be most sorrowful for our sins. It does. Love will bring emotion. But love, charity, love unto action is not emotion. It is a mindset. Our charity is to be the same as our Lord's. I mean, that's what we're called into, to be his children. We're to be representative of him. We'll be reminded by a verse later on in the message of that. Our charity is to be the same as the Lord's, a mindset. We love him because he first loved us. And I'm to never quit loving my Lord. He's not going to quit loving me. He gave his son for me on Calvary. If he will give his son, it tells us in Romans, what will he withhold? Anything? No. He loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love. And we need to love him with all we have. Hear that? That's what the scripture tells us, what our Lord affirms in the Gospels. We need to love him with every whit of our being, and we need to love our neighbor. We need to love our brothers and sisters as we love ourselves. That's all, but that'll take care of it, and that is what we are called into. In chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, quickly, we want to take a look at the character of charity. And we don't have time to do this justice. We're just going to glance across it here quickly and listen to the character of charity. And look at this and consider this about how our Lord has been toward us. And then this is the call that the way we are to be toward him and towards our fellow man. The saved and the unsaved. What's it say here in 1 Corinthians 13, 4? Charity suffereth long. Charity will suffer. And it'll do it for a long time. For a long, long time. We think about the blasphemous ways that maybe some of us had before the Lord saved us. Things that we would say against our Lord, things that we would think against God, doubt that we would have for the scriptures. You know what? The love of our Lord never failed. It never failed, did it? Charity, love with legs on it, it suffereth long. Charity is kind. It's kind. Well, our Lord has the way he has engaged us here in this New Testament age is just really a kind, kind way, isn't it? Sends people to us, sends a witness to us, a minister to us, a family member saved, members of his churches and the work. And the, you think about our brethren that are called into foreign ministry and missionary work. Thousands of dollars annually put into that for nothing that will bring an earthly return. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars that when the world looks on it, says that's foolishness. Sad to say, some of the saints of God look on it as foolishness, and it's not. And our brethren, as well as we, need to be good stewards of what our Lord has given. But you know what? The kindness of our Lord works in us that these men need to be sent. That others in those lands would hear the gospel, the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they might be rescued too and be saved. You know, we put forth an effort here locally with our radio broadcast, with our website, with the mailers that we send out from time to time, and folks that we look to engage here in the region, and like Vacation Bible School, and an extension and an invitation to the community to come and join us in our meetings and our services, all the things that we do in that regard. It's a kind thing. Our Lord is not because of us, but because of him. But we have the answer to everything that they need. And that invitation to come and hear that the answer is Jesus is a kind thing. Our Lord has been very kind to us when we've been very rude to him. Charity envieth not. You know, it's not jealous. It doesn't say, charity doesn't feel like, if you will, to personify it. That's what's going on here. Charity doesn't get jealous. You're getting more than me. Charity doesn't envy. It doesn't envy. It doesn't envy and is not jealous in any way, but is there and solid and steadfast. Charity vaunteth not itself. It doesn't push itself out there and says, look how loving I am. Look how good I am. Look how much better that I am. Charity doesn't do that. Charity's there, just solid, filling the need, being rebuffed, being swatted, being kicked, if you will, being abused and railed upon. No, it just stays right in there, doesn't it? That's the way our Lord has been towards us. Charity's not puffed up, not self-impressed. You know, we in our striving to be charitable and to exhibit the love of our Lord from our lives and to others. You know, I don't need to be ever reminding you about how loving I am toward you. If I do, as the Lord said, yeah, I have my reward. A lot of charity and care in this way is done in secret, as it should be. You know, you and I show our love for someone when we take and we bring them before the throne of grace in prayer before our Lord. And we do seek to encourage one another and different ones that we know and we meet, and that we tell them that we're praying for them, just so they know that we think about them, but not to brag on ourselves. If I get to the point where I'm telling you that I'm praying for you, just so you know that I am, and I feel better about that, I've missed the mark. Charity in verse number 5 doth not behave itself unseemly. Young people, young ladies, young men, you begin to engage with those of the opposite gender and the care or the seeking of a spouse. If one would begin to tell you that they love you and they want to violate the chastity and the innocence that you have as a virgin. If they want to enter into that before marriage and to meddle in those things, they are behaving themselves unseemly. And charity doesn't do that. Love, true love, waits on the way of the Lord. True love does not, and charity and let love into action does not behave itself unseemly in any way. It doesn't get disjointed. It doesn't look to gain something and for self-gratification. As it says there in verse number 5, charity doesn't seek her own. Charity is always seeking the benefit of the other. Do I help you so you will help me? Or do I help you because the Lord's given me the opportunity and blessing to be able to be a help to you? That's what our Lord has done for us. We couldn't help our Lord one bit. Seeketh not her own. Charity is not easily provoked. Praise God for that. Our Lord has loved us. And he has loved you. He's loved me. And I kick against him. I use the blessing. I've used the blessing that he's given me to take and the provision that he's used to bless me with. I take it and I use it to sin against him. He loves us. And he'll whip us when we need a whipping. Praise God for it. But he's not easily provoked. Charity thinketh no evil. Thinketh no evil. Again, young people, someone would tell you that they love you, but they want to take you off to the place that you don't belong. That's not charity. That's not love. It doesn't think any evil. It only thinks good. Charity does not rejoice, verse number 6, does not rejoice in iniquity. You know, love and love with legs on it won't rejoice over our past sins. And you know what? We can take our failing and our fault to be a help and a witness to someone indeed. We need to be careful about how we do that. We can take our experiences and that whole thing of maybe sympathizing with someone that's going through the same thing that we've gone through or we experienced. That can be, but we should never rejoice. We should never glory in the wickedness and the sin that we've been partakers of. It's not becoming of our Lord, is it? And charity does not rejoice in such. You know what charity rejoices in? The truth. The truth. Many times parents are challenged with this thing, and we've heard it. All of us have heard it. So, well, I was involved with that mess, and now my kids are here, and they're up, and they're older, and now they want to go down that road. And who am I to tell them that they can't do so? I was in the middle of it. No, I was wrong. And they will be wrong in doing so. Because, see, it's not my opinion that matters. It's what the Lord says that matters. And the Lord says, stay away from that. Stay away from that. The truth is that God says that you and I both need to stay away from it. I didn't, but you can. Follow the Lord. Follow what the Lord says. That's what charity does. Charity doesn't cop out and say, well, kids will be kids. Well, yeah, sinners will be sinners, that's for sure. But you know what? We need to warn our children and our grandchildren about the wickedness that's in the world. We need to prepare them to face the wickedness that's in the world. And we need to tell them and teach them what the Word of God says about keeping themselves and pray that our Lord will keep us all from the evil. The evil. Disobedience of our God. And you know what? Where we've sinned and where we've failed, we need to ask our Lord just to forgive us. To forgive us and know that promise that He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. and our fellowship will be good. And when the Lord forgives us, may we forgive ourselves. And may we rejoice in the truth that our Lord has given unto us. Verse number 7, charity bears all things. I think about a pack mule, a pack horse, bearing under that load, that strain, that piece of equipment that's carrying a great load. That's what charity does. Bears most things. Is that what it says? My Bible says all. But what? This one here, I don't think I can handle this one. The Lord says charity bears it all. Our Lord has bore it all for us, didn't he? He bore every one of my sins to Calvary. From the standpoint of my sins standing against me and dooming me to an eternity in hell in the lake of fire, you too, if you're here and saved, he bore them all. For our sakes. Charity believeth all things. Now, this doesn't mean that charity is gullible. It doesn't mean that charity is like a person in the vernacular we would refer to being dingy. It's not talking about that. Charity knows the truth. But charity is always, and we'll touch on that, it tells us there, but charity is always hopeful. Charity is full of faith. Full of faith in the Lord that what the Lord says is true. You can count on it, what the Lord says. Brother Jim, it doesn't seem like it'll make sense. Charity says, yes, it will. It'll work out. Now, just because it doesn't make sense to our carnal minds, because it doesn't make sense and jibe with the way of this world, it will work because God has given it. The truth and faith in that truth, charity, love with legs on it, believes all things that the Lord has said. Charity hopeth all things. You know what? While there's life, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is forever, there's help and hope for the sinner. Isn't there? There is. There's help and hope. While that heart is beating and the Lord is alive, which he will live forever, there's hope and help for the sinner without Christ. And we need to pray to that end, that our Lord will save, that our Lord will deliver, that our Lord will rescue and help us, help our children, help our families, help our church, help our community and state and nation while there's life. And the Lord, there's hope. Hopeth all things. You know what? We have a great hope in our Lord that one day we'll see him face to face. We have a great hope in our Lord that we will be there for the things that we will be there for, and he will deliver us from the things that we will not be there for. And Brother Stevens touched on these things at the end times. Brother Jim, what about those horsemen? You know, I don't have to worry about the horsemen. I like to study about to the extent that I can, but I don't have to sweat the horsemen. The Lord's going to take care of the horsemen and me wherever I am relative to it. What about all that? I mean, it's a fearful thing to think about this world being burned up, as we touched on Wednesday night. And Brother Peter writes and tells that this place is going to be burned up. You get to thinking about that very much. You can get beside yourself. Listen, we don't have to worry about it. Our Lord's going to take care of it. He's going to take care of us. And charity, love with legs on it, hopeth all things, knows that what the Lord has said is true. Oh, we may not understand everything about what he's promised us, but he will bring it to pass. And you know what? Everything that our Lord has given us and promised us is good. Is good for us. We might not like what it has potential to do to this body, but it is all good for us. That we might be conformed to the image of his Son. It says here in verse number 7 that charity endureth all things. It's kind of like bearing, isn't it? It's kind of like suffering long. It's kind of like the wrap-up. You name it. Charity will endure it. And that's what our Lord has done for us and is doing for us. You know, we have talked about and we brought it out about how it is, why the Lord's left us in this state. He saved us. We've got the Spirit living within us. Yet we've got this old flesh and this old mind that's not saved. You know, why would the Lord do that? And I think we're convinced of the Scriptures that yet that in this body of death, for a short time, he might yet be glorified, and that this old flesh, this old clay, in my case, in your case, can be used to be a witness of him to life. When this old body knows nothing naturally but death, that's a wonder. But then our Lord's got to put up with us in this shape too, doesn't he? Our failing, our transgression, our sin, our fear, our doubt of him, this old wicked mind and the stuff that goes through it at the most inopportune time. But you know what? He loves us. And for his honor and his glory, he endures it. And he gives us grace to help in time of need indeed. Verse number 8, charity doesn't fail. A lot of things can fail. You can have equipment that'll fail. You can have body parts that'll fail. You can have friends, brothers and sisters, spouses, children, parents that'll fail. We got a potential for a lot of failure in this life. We can be very afraid of failure. You know what? Charity, love with legs on it, love into action, never fails. It always comes in and gives what's needed, brings what's needed. And that is the character of charity. We see in this, if we'll just step back and consider it for a moment, that charity is full of the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Isn't that something? You know, I just had never seen that connection that way. In Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23, the fruit of the Spirit, this is what the Spirit of God within us will bring forth and manifest, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. You can't ever fill them. Charity is indeed full of the fruit of the Spirit. You know why? This is indeed a spiritual fair. Brother Jim, I just can't do that. You're right, in your flesh you cannot. I cannot. But you know what? We can be a charitable people, exhibit and live in love unto action, but unto our Lord and to one another and to this lost and dying world by the power of the Spirit of God. He's done it. And he's given us himself within. And we, by his power, can do so. It tells us in the Scripture that charity will hide or cover a multitude of sins. In James chapter 5, verses 19 through 20, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, so speaking to brethren, okay, so this is here amongst the saints, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Is it talking about the big cover-up? No, it's not talking about a cover-up. It's talking about, pardon me, following the Lord and what he says and believing and hoping on all things, even when it seems like unto us in our outlook and our carnal vision that it's just weak and that it just doesn't have any power, that there's just no ability in it. But following what the Lord says, you know what? Can take one that is erred from the truth and bring them back and convince them back to the way of the Lord. And you know what? What I think is being alluded to here, they would be brought, and by the ministry of their brethren, brought back into the right way of the Lord, rather than being allowed to just continue on in that path of wickedness. We've got this life that you and I are living right here in time, and we don't know what the future is. Our Lord knows all things, but you know what? You and I don't. And if we have one another that do err from the truth, we need to come in there out of love, to show them what the Lord tells us all is right. And you know what? This can cover, hide a multitude of sins. Brother Peter tells us about this same thing in 1 Peter 4, verse 8. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. He says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Same subject, but he brings the word in there for us, brings the words in there for us. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. It's not talking about letting sin pass. But with repentance, there's forgiveness. And with the word of God and the way of the Lord, there can be restoration. And we have hope and belief and faith and rest in our Lord, being charitable that, Lord, yeah, you've been overtaken into fault, but we still love you and we want you to come back. Confess it before the Lord and come back into the assembly and be a part with us that we might serve our Lord together. There's a lot of sins that can be avoided. There can be a lot of things. And, you know, we need to have a care one for another. It's a tall order for me being wrong and you in a right way to come tell me that I'm wrong. That can be a fearful thing. But that's what we need. I use myself as an example to take the heat off of you. But by what the Lord says, by what the Word of God says, we can be a help one another. You know what? We're going to have to be filled up and loaded up with a charitable heart. And desiring a good thing, not desiring what's going to benefit us, but what's going to benefit the Lord and be a blessing to our Lord. Charity takes self-control, doesn't it? You think about it. To suffer long, to be kind, to envy not, to vaunt not yourself, to not be not puffed up, to not behave unseemly, not seeking one's own, not easily provoked, thinking no evil, rejoicing not in iniquity, rejoicing in the truth, bearing all things, believing all things, hoping all things, enduring all things, never failing. It's going to take self-control, isn't it? It is. It's going to take temperance. As our brother writes this church in chapter 9, there in 1 Corinthians. In conclusion, in Matthew chapter 23, verse number 23, our Lord is speaking here to the scribes and Pharisees, and he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." In Luke chapter 11, verse number 42, the way the Lord says it there, "But woe unto you Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manners of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." We can fall into a trap that doctrine is our everything. We can fall into other kinds of traps that even certain doctrines are everything. For example, this is an example. But the thing is we need to hold the truth of our Lord in its right place. And then we need to have ourselves under control and be self-controlled for the honor and glory of our Lord. And have charity abounding in us. And the fruit of the Spirit and abounding in us too. Don't leave the truth about the Lord's church and what the Lord has done in His church. Not setting that aside as an example. I'm using this as an example. But holding to that, and also this of our own person, that we live for our Lord. It's very easy to take the things and the elements and the doctrine and the operation of the church and leave off this thing in ourself. But I think what the brother's leading us to here in this chapter is to show us that the greatest challenge and the greatest point of service that we have is the managing of our own persons for the honor and glory of God. Three things remain: faith in our Lord, hope in Him, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity. He says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 48, he says that ye may be the children of your Father, verse number 45, that ye may be, operate and follow in this way, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Being like our Lord. Our Lord believes something. We need to believe it too. But our Lord operates in a certain way. And we need to operate in our persons, in our families, and in our church like our Lord does. The three things that remain for the mature child of God: the character of charity.